of what's coming, and who to trust, and who to live for, and who live for them. Scripture reading will be up on the screen this morning, just two verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 52. So hear God's word. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father God, thank you again for sending your son, and that the grave could not hold him. And therefore, we have hope that death and sin and the grave cannot hold us as well. We have a future home in heaven with you because of the shed blood of your son, because of your forgiving us, honoring your son. Not because of us, but because you love your son. And so, Lord, as we briefly look this morning at this amazing truth of your resurrection, encourage us, challenge us, maybe give life today to some who don't have the hope of Christ. So open our ears. In Christ's name we ask by faith. Amen. Because of the empty tomb. You know, the human body is an amazing thing. You ever stop to think about that? It's truly a marvel of God's creation. In fact, it was the highlight of his creation. No other created beings were created in the image of God. So I looked up a few amazing facts about this body that we all carry around. Now, even if yours is falling apart, you still have an amazing creation. Messages from the human brain travel along nerves up to 200 miles an hour. Now, you may not be able to go to a NASCAR race today, but you got NASCAR going on inside of you. If a human being's DNA were uncoiled, it would stretch 10 billion miles from Earth to Pluto and back. The body can detect taste in 0.0015 seconds, which is faster than the blink of an eye. So that bacon you ate earlier, you were detecting that taste pretty quick. You probably smelled it before you even walked in, right? The brain contains 86 billion nerve cells, joined by 100 trillion connections. This is more than the number of stars in the Milky Way. Like fingerprints, each human tongue has its own unique print. I did not know that. So if you ever get pulled over by a cop and they want to take your print, just stick your tongue out at them and see what they say then. In an adult human, blood circulates about 12,000 miles a day. During an average lifespan, a human heart beats over 3 billion times. There are 7 million cone cells in our retina, which brings us color, while there are 100 million rod cells, which help us see in the dark. The human eye is composed of over 2 million working parts. Now, you know why your glasses and your prescription and your appointment are so expensive. And the list could keep going on and on and on and on. God spoke this amazing creation into existence, but death stops it. This amazing, unbelievable masterpiece that God put together, death stops it. It just stops. Death did not happen just by accident. Death was a judgment from God based upon man's sin. The tree of the good knowledge and evil you shall not eat, because in the day you eat it, you will die. In the Hebrew language is, in dying you shall surely die. Very clear to Adam, but you know what they did. But do you realize that you can be a human without having to die? Yeah, Adam and Eve did not have to die if they had not sinned. Death is a part of God's judgment, but death is a reality in our life. And apart from there being a resurrection that we've been singing about and playing about, we have no hope that this amazing, marvelous creation of God will be put back together again. And by the way, if you're a born-again child of God today, your my salvation is not complete until God makes this body new again. It's guaranteed, it's promised, but there's still something missing. The whole design is to put us back together again, wholly redeemed. Your spirit is redeemed today if you're born again, but our body still fails us, does it not? Our body still is a thing to be reckoned with. Paul said, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. That's our hope. Scott came over to the funeral home. For most of you, if you don't know, I also work another job. It's at a funeral home, and I pretty much run the crematory there. And Scott came a couple weeks ago and to work on a machine that we have at the crematory. This machine just, I think, was improperly designed, and we designed it properly and got it working really well. And as I was performing the last stage of a cremation, which he needed to see to make sure that what he did worked, I said something, and I'm pretty sure you heard me. I said, isn't it amazing that God is going to take all of these bones that I have just crunched up and put them all back together again? And so in this bin are all of these bones, and I am going to take them and crush them down further. You don't have a weak stomach, do you? And then I'm going to put them down into a bin, which there are blades, and the blades will cut them into sort of like a fine dust, sort of like a kitty litter, sort of like sand, if that gives you an idea. And then they can be placed in an urn. And what Scott was there for was trying to get some of that dust that was blowing all over the place captured. And even the dust that floats around and lands on the floor and on everything is still a part of a human being. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad you already ate? And I find it absolutely amazing that God, on the last day, when the trumpet sounds, that he is going to put back every single body together. Even that dust that lands. And wherever that dust goes when I sweep it up and put it in the trash, wherever it goes, God is going to grab everything and put it all back together. Now you say, well, I don't think when you're resurrected you have any bones. You're this spirit. Listen to what Jesus said after his resurrection. See my hands and my feet? It is I myself. Touch me. You don't go through it. You touch the skin. It's resurrected. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And I think over the years we've kind of bought into this idea that when you're resurrected, you just kind of float around, you know, and you're sort of, I want to say see through, but feel through or whatever. And we'll get to that in 1 Corinthians 15, which we're studying now, 1 Corinthians. But this actual body you're walking around in, that's the body that's going to get raised. Your body right now it'll be changed. It'll be made to be able to live for eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. But it will be your body. Now, if you have a heart flutter, or if you have cancer or something, that'll all be gone, but it will be your bones, it will be your flesh made new. Jesus had bones, and he had feet, and he had skin, and remember he ate? He ate fish? I got a feeling it was probably a fish sandwich at the Jerusalem McDonald's, but I'm not quite sure. But anyway, so I want us to see briefly today what God's going to do. And how he's going to do it. Well, he does it by his power. First is, every ear will be put back together. Every ear will hear. John 5 says, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has absolutely passed from death to life." Then Jesus said, "There is an hour coming, and it is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God." And that's talking about salvation. But let me jump down to verse 28. "Do not marvel at this. An hour is coming when all who are in the tombs," all dead people, "will hear his voice, and they will come out of those graves." The very next thing that every single person from Adam on, wherever they are, dust in a crematory or in the corner of the bricks or in a sea or wherever they died, on the moon, in a spaceship, wherever their body happens to be, God will open up their ears and they will hear. And the very first voice that a dead person will hear after the last voice they heard, whenever they could hear when they were alive, will be the very voice of Jesus speaking in their ear. And I don't know what he's going to say, but I got a feeling he's going to say, "Come up," or "Rise," or "Come forth. It's time." Whatever he says, that to me is absolutely amazing, that God will put back together the ear and they will hear. And as I go and remove folks who have passed away and bring them to the funeral home, and as I see them in a casket or I see them in a preparatory room and I see their ears, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that ear will be made alive again and they will hear. And not only that, that God will resurrect them and they will come out of the graves. And there are only two places you go. They will come out, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of judgment. That does not mean that everybody that did good earned it. It simply means what all the scriptures teach. Those who know Christ, their life shows it. Those who don't, their life shows it. Your life gives away who you belong to. And that's the constant theme. Those that know Christ generally do good. We fail, we sin, of course we do. But our pattern of our life is good. Those that don't know Christ, the pattern of their life is against God. And it is a marvel to think that God will put together the ear. This cannot happen without a resurrection. Not only will God open the ear, every eye will see. You won't be wearing glasses then. You won't be blind then. Jesus said in Revelation, "Behold," or John wrote, "he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Now, this seems to be everybody, everybody. Sometimes in Scripture, every doesn't mean every. When all the world was to be taxed, when Jesus was to be born, not all the world was taxed, just that region. But this every seems to be all. "Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." So God is going to make the eyes work again. Luke 17, he said to his disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see," see, "one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them." People come and say, "I'm Jesus, I'm Jesus. You want to see me again? Well, you're going to die first. You're not going to see me, but you will see me in the future." If somebody comes and says, "I'm Jesus," no, don't go out to the desert and look for them. Somebody said, "I died and I went to heaven and I came back and I'm Jesus," or whatever it is. Some of these cult leaders, they always claim to be Jesus. You ever notice that? They always claim to be Jesus. Don't go out or follow them. How will you know it's Jesus? "For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day." Now, how will people see the light shining from all over and Jesus coming? Because God will make their eyes open, even those who have died. But then he said, "But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Disciples, I've got to die first. Then that's when you'll see me coming back. And God will open every eye. Without a resurrection, this verse can't be true. Without a resurrection, every eye cannot be open to see Jesus. So the ears will hear his voice, and the eyes will see him coming. not only the ears and the eyes, but every knee will bow. Every knee. Quoting from Isaiah, "By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear allegiance." Quoted in Romans 14, "It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me." Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. God highly exalted Jesus, bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now, of course, this is symbolic, the bowing of the knee. But bowing of the knee meant that you were putting your head down, like in the picture on the screen, and you were saying to the master, to the king, "Do with me whatever you want." So we are told in Scripture, there is coming a day every single knee will bow in submission to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We do it here on earth. The Spirit of God convicts us of our sin. We repent. We place our faith and trust in Christ. He's our only hope. We've bowed the knee here. But for those who reject the Lord Jesus, they will bow the knee then, and then it'll be too late. So this cannot happen unless there's a resurrection. Every knee cannot bow without a resurrection. Well, not only our ears and our eyes and our knee, but how about our tongue? Every tongue will speak. Now, I have never had a person whom I went to the hospital and brought to the funeral home say to me, "You're driving too fast." No one's ever, you know, said, "Hey, buddy, could you slow down? You're taking the turns too quickly." Now, I have heard their voice. You say, "Now you've really lost it, you nut." Push down on their stomach, and the air comes out, and you hear their voice. It's a groan, but it's their voice. And because it's wind is just traveling through the vocal cords, vibrating them still. And if it's a girl, "Woo," or whatever it is. But it is their unique voice. And, you know, don't tell anybody, but sometimes I on purpose just stand there and go, "Wah, wah." I don't either. I don't either. I don't either. But it is amazing when you move them, you'll hear. But this is actually words, sentence that is going to come out. Listen to this. "As it is written, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." Philippians 2, "Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to bring glory to the Father." The word confess is homologeo, which simply means, the first word is homo, which means same. The next word is legeo, which means to speak. Every tongue will speak the same thing. Same thing as what? The same thing that God the Father speaks. What does God the Father speak? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. He is the sacrifice for sin." And there is coming a day when every single person's tongue will actually say, "Jesus is Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You are God. You are the Redeemer. You are the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." And it's amazing that whether they were cremated or burned in a fire or placed in the ground or in a mausoleum, wherever they are, God will open up that tongue and that mouth and it will speak. If you're born again, you've already said that. If not, you will say it in the future. But this cannot happen apart from a resurrection. There has to be a resurrection. And lastly, every human body will be raised. Every single body, your entire body will be raised. Paul, that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, talking really to believers, and he said, "Blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That which perishes will inherit what does not perish. Behold, what I'm telling you is a mystery. We're not all going to sleep." That means we're not all going to die. The trumpet will sound. But for the most part, we're all going to die unless the trumpet sounds and you're still alive. But the trumpet will sound, and here it is again. The dead will be raised, imperishable, never to die again. Now, the lost, the unsaved, will spiritually die again. There's a second death, and they're cast in the lake of fire. But you'll never physically die again. You will be raised an imperishable body, whether in damnation or whether in glory. And we shall be changed, because this body that can perish must put on an imperishable body, Our mortal body has to put on that which is immortality, cannot die. And when the perishable does put on the imperishable at the resurrection, and the mortal does put on the immortality at the resurrection, then shall come to pass this saying, death is swallowed up in victory. And death wins today in so many areas. Death's a horrible thing. There is coming a day, death is swallowed up in victory, looking back at the blood of Christ and his resurrection. And then he asks the question, death, where is your victory? You thought you won all the way back in the garden. Where is your sting? It will be gone, finally. And of course, the encouragement is, because of the resurrection, be steadfast, unmovable, always do God's work. And then, of course, in Revelation, we find this. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from the presence of Christ, earth and sky fled away. I saw the dead. How can the dead be in this glorious scene? Because he resurrects them. I saw the dead, great and small. Nobody bebops up to heaven. You know, I won a Super Bowl trophy. I won 7 Super Bowl trophies. Let me in. I had this much money in my bank account. I did this, I did that. No. The great and the small will stand before his throne. And books were opened. And then a singular book was opened. The books are the books of all of our works. The singular book, the smaller book, is the Lamb's Book of Life. The narrow road, the few that come to Christ. The dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Why is it according to what they had done? Because again, what you do proves who you belong to. Every judgment is based on works, but salvation is based on grace. Because the grace that enters your life changes your life. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. That's resurrection. And they were judged, each one of them. Each one of them. That means you don't get, all right, group A's over here. All those who were born from December to March, you stand over here. No. Each one individually. How's that going to happen? I have no idea, right? It's a miracle. Each person will stand before Christ, and they will be judged according to what they have done. And what they have done will prove, did they belong to Christ or did they not? And then those who did not pass the judgment, did not know Christ, they were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you were thrown into the lake of fire. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That cannot happen apart from a resurrection. It cannot. It is amazing. And beyond understanding. How does God put back a body that's been chopped up by my blades? Burned in the fire, died 5,000 years ago. Who knows where? It's amazing. But his resurrection guarantees it. But more important than that is the outcome of the resurrection. And we've got to understand there's no escape. Every single person from Adam who has even been conceived and even died in the womb will be raised up. There's no escape. For those who rebel here on earth, they will be raised to everlasting judgment, damnation and torment. The eyes, the ear, the knees, the tongue, the entire body will submit to Jesus Christ. But then it's too late. It's too late. For those who have believed by God's grace, whose heart has been opened by God to believe, there will be everlasting joy and gladness. In fact, have you ever stopped to try to fathom heaven? Eternity? I can't go there. I cannot. It never ends. Just like hell. I can't fathom that pain either. It never ends. I mean, the greatest thing about sitting in a classroom at school was what? When the bell rang, you know, the bell never rings, which is glorious in heaven. But I can't fathom being in absolute bliss and glory for eternity. The ears, the eye, the knee, the tongue, and the entire body will be raised imperishable to be with the Lord forever and ever. No one's going to escape this. No one. No one. We have a little one, a miscarriage years ago. I always forget if it was number one or number two. Number two was two. And so it could have been Abby's younger sister along with her other sisters, right? I don't even know if it was a boy or a girl. And I'll never forget the nurse. I had gone home and she called me about 2 a.m. and she said, Kelly said that they came in and said, do you want us to baptize it? And she said, no, there's no need to baptize it. Even that little guy or girl, the best kid I ever had, you know, never made a mistake, never had to yell at that child or anything, who I believe spirit is in heaven today. That little one, whatever they did with it, is going to be raised up. Hi, Dad. Woo. Watch him be like 10 feet tall. Hi, Dad. Hi, son. Hi, daughter. He's going to do it. And amazing. No one can escape it. All are a part of one of these groups. So my hope and prayer for all of us is that we know when we get resurrected or the trumpet sounds, we know where we'll be. And you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It's all by grace through faith. I realize I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I realize that God is angry with me. And I get so weary of some of the gospel presentations I hear and, you know, you're not loved and you're lonely. You don't have to be lonely. That's not salvation. Salvation is there is a holy God who is angry with me. His wrath is against me and I will be judged by him. I don't deserve him. He sent his son to pay my price. God, forgive me. I don't deserve you. You're my only hope. That's salvation. Not, I want to stop drinking. I want to stop drugs. I want to stop. Those are good things. That's not salvation. Those can come. Salvation is I am separated from God. And I will be eternally separated from him unless I am his child. So my prayer for all of us is we know there's no escape. And I'm thankful for a believer. I can't even escape from it. He has secured me in Christ. Father, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Father God, for sending Christ to pay the price of our sin. Who gave his life, who took our sin upon him. Father, I pray each one in this room knows where they will be when the trumpet sounds or when they die. And when they hear the voice of Christ, when their ears and their eyes and their mouth and their bodies and the knee will be put together. They have already done that here on earth. Spirit of God, work among us. And thank you for the hope beyond this world. When death comes, there's hope beyond this world. And we are forever grateful. How you could love us is the greatest miracle ever. And how you could watch your son be beaten, smitten, crucified, to put all of our sin upon him is another miracle we can't fathom. And even our thank you seems shallow, but we do say thank you. So work in our hearts, we pray by faith in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.